Welcome to Dare to Innovate. My name is Andrew Taylor. I'm very excited for our two special guests. Here on Dare to Innovate, we're talking about understanding data usage rights, specifically in the market data management space. With me from Calero, one of our vice presidents and general managers of a business unit, is Alistair Brooker. And from Datagum, we have Richard Jones. So Richard, would you go ahead and like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Datagum?
Yeah, thanks very much for the introduction and great to be here. Datagum are now in its kind of second year of operation. And we're a small group of market data professionals that have come together, and we're servicing and helping customers in a couple of ways. I mean, firstly, there's the consultancy business, and we've been helping customers use tools such as yourselves to ensure that, you know, there's correct oversight, correct governance around all aspects of market data. And then there's a second part of the business, which is really around software development. And we've been building out a suite of tools to assist clients and customers to correctly entitle data in potentially new environments. We've seen kind of a great change in our industry with a move towards cloud, the native CSPs, the cloud service providers, but also new participants in this kind of space. Specifically, I'd reference people like Databricks and Snowflake. So our development team are working with customers to kind of build out permissioning tools within those environments. And like I say, we're working with customers kind of on the ground with your kind of tools.
So Alistair, why are we talking about data usage rights? You know, it comes to mind that it's super innovative. But, you know, why are we talking about this within the market data space? And you know, what's really interesting about it to our audience?
Yeah, so data usage rights has a bit of a background in history. I mean, I think, Andrew, we touched on it in our conversations we had back in, January, our sales kickoff, right? So we talked about difficulties in the contract management space and market data. We talked about that industry challenge of trying to produce electronic files that would accompany those contract PDFs that those vendors, providers, exchanges would be sending to customers, making it easy for them to sort of be able to identify the key clauses, terms and conditions that they would need to pay attention to, obviously to stay compliant. I think even back then at the start of the year, we said that we were nowhere near kind of meeting that, you know, industry objective or utopia of having that electronic set of files, ODRL, as they call it. So I think what customers have been coming to us about and trying to challenge us for is, how can we collect it ourselves? How can we go through those contracts, not physically person by person, hour by hour, trawling through line by line, but how can we pay attention to the key conditions of these contracts that we need to adhere to, abide by? So, you know, making sure we're understanding thresholds of min and max limits that we should be signing up to, making sure we are aware that if there is clauses around sharing of the data, distributing the data, manipulating it, deriving it, etc., that is made clear, standardized, and named. So data usage rights is becoming more and more important, especially as there's more and more kind of regulation and fines out there, and our customers are struggling to look after it. So what you're going to hear, I think, today is how, you know, we've kind of come together with Datagum and worked in partnership to be able to identify a process and a solution to extract that information from these contracts, and then obviously store the important stuff, and then even make it available back to the business as well to make them more educated on how they need to abide by it and how they need to pay attention to it.
So what's always interesting to me when it comes to partnerships is the why we came together. Why, you know, we obviously are both providing solutions out into the market, but it always comes to, you know, to me what the importance is, the why we came together. So Richard, can you give me a little bit of background, and maybe Alistair jump in at the end? You know, why is it important for a customer to consume our products together?
Yeah, no, I think the partnership is pretty kind of an obvious kind of partnership. I think, you know, it's been a busy year and the partnership's certainly building momentum. I think it's good to kind of, you know, you say, to touch on the reasons why. You know, financial institutions customers, I've got to say they're mutual customers, are kind of wanting resources to work with them on the ground to, you know, go into some of the points that I just made about sort of understanding the commercial terms, the costs, the rights. This is an ever-changing landscape. You know, this is not an easy thing. It's constant change. But to extrapolate kind of the commercial terms, the rights, the costs, et cetera, out of those existing contracts, but potentially new ones as well, and then transpose that information into a management information system such as, you know, MDM and your product suite, you know, is an obvious task that these big institutions have to do. So, you know, on the one hand, you've got the software and we, you know, we've got the practical experience and the knowledge and I'd like to think the know-how. So, you know, that's why it works so well. And I think it's a great fit. And as Alistair touched upon, and hopefully throughout this session, we'll kind of go into, you know, one customer example that we want to kind of highlight. And I think that's going to be the first of many, right? I think your suite is established in London, in New York, in the major cities, within the field of market data. We're kind of growing. We're picking up customers in those locations as well. So I think it's a good fit.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, I've been talking to the guys at Datagum for more than a year and a half. You know, we have chats about industry topics. We have conversations about, you know, what we see our customers doing. We have very similar trains of thought on where we see things evolving, where we see solutions to challenges, and because of that kind of close conversation, partnership, connection, I think it was an obvious choice to partner because, you know, as Richard has touched on, we fit very nicely together with our, you know, software heritage at Calero, but also, you know, Datagum's market data experience and knowledge on how adjacent systems can be plugged in and how they can be leveraged with connectivity to make, you know, all of these solutions more powerful and more exciting, I would say, you know, for particularly on this topic for the customer place.
Yeah, so let's step back and say, what are we providing to the market that is differentiated? So, you know, as you think about Datagum and the Calero offering in market data management, what's kind of the North Star? What are we looking to provide to the customers to really change the way that their, you know, their data usage rights is working? What is that, Alistair?
So, I mean, I think a number of our customers have leveraged our contract workflow module that plugs nicely into the MDM, the Market Data Manager, you know, database, and that contract module has been used for not just storing the key dates on the contract or the ownership or the, you know, the coverage of that particular contract scope, but customers have began to realize that with that workflow of you know, series of questions mapped to a key customer's business process, they would be able to collect more than just what's the new price, you know, have we negotiated a good deal, is the ownership changing, you know, what's the service scope. They are looking more now at how can we collect data usage rights. And if there are sourcing personnel and procurement personnel that are looking after these contracts, then it's guiding them in a way that says, when you've spoken about these, you know, these contracts and these particular products that's been delivered through these feeds, then what is the key clauses here? What are the key conditions that we can capture from that? So there's an ability to be able to understand more about that and then use the contract workflow module to store that. So we've got some customers starting to collect this information and store it. I think what is different here, because a lot of people have talked about data usage rights in the past, what is different here with Datagum is that we're leveraging that information and actually mapping and applying that more granular. So we're applying it not just at a contract level, not just at a service level, but we're applying it and mapping it down to feeds, products and services that are feeding different applications, different market data applications. And then also leveraging that for demand challenge. So we're going to talk about demand challenge a bit later on, you know, when these joiners are coming to the organizations, reminding them of their obligations of these, you know, key clauses and conditions that, you know, make up the data usage rights. So I think it is, as Richard is probably going to, you know, break down a bit more detail on, it's going further than what we've kind of seen and experienced with other customers before where they've been collecting this information. So, yeah, exciting to see how, you know, this can evolve further.
Yeah, so Richard, that brings us to a great question. What has Datagum built so far for the market data customers and how are they consuming it?
Yeah, so ultimately what we've done for the one customer that we're going to be kind of going into is we've utilized your toolkit, and we have been in a position where we've been able to kind of collate a lot of information from that organization. I mean, that's kind of a labor intensive piece of work, but ultimately what we were able to do is collect data from their existing contracts, look at the usage rights and the terms of those contracts. You know, we can look at geographies, we can look at sort of where in the business that data can flow to. So that's kind of a massive piece. And when you've kind of got an institution the size that we were working with, you've kind of got, you know, in excess of, you know, 200 or 300 contracts to look at. And we took a subset that particularly went down to kind of the indices route, because that was a real pain point for this customer. So then you kind of look at those subset of those contracts. We then obviously work with the application owners, and there's many applications within the institution that are consuming the data over that kind of geographic reach. And then obviously we're collecting data on the underlying users within the institution as well. So those three kind of deep pools of data we took, and we then obviously built the front end that ultimately feeds into your toolkit, and then by absolutely adding further questions and further validation to your existing modules, we've kind of created the business logic, and that's the important word. It's the business logic to the rationalization around, you know, what this data can and can't be used for, and that creates almost like a digital signature of the contract. Now for one, you know, for straight away, we haven't taken the full contract and kind of taken that kind of open digital, you know, rights language kind of approach. But we've kind of got the metadata, the key metadata. That's kind of our kind of source to help the customer. And by doing that, it means that then a user within that organization can ultimately make a request for, you know, whatever they need it to be, and we will validate it in a timely manner. And you've also kind of got to take the sort of the historical view of this kind of problem, in that it may take, I want to say kind of, it might take a few hours, but typically it would take a few days for someone to put a request in and say, can I use this data? What would it cost? And it was going to take them not, you know, a couple of hours, but it might, like I say, it might be 3 or 4 days before they get a response. So by having this metadata already installed within your kind of platform and that logic, we're at a point where that obviously that time can kind of come down. So that's kind of what we're doing. We're utilizing business logic within your toolkit. And that's pretty much kind of how it worked. Alistair, I don't know if you want to add anything more to that.
No, I think you've covered the majority of it. It's, you know, it's building that base of key data that you can then use in many different ways. So you're leveraging it in all the ways that you kind of highlighted. And it's tricky, this, you know, if you talk about it as an industry topic, you know, market data usage rights for market data for the industry is miles behind, you know, what else you have out there, right? So if you download in music or something like that, or using some other sort of electronic licensing, then, you know, it's all laid out in electronic format, what you can do with this, what you can't do with it, you can't share, etc. And it stays with that item. Market data is miles behind in being able to, you know, digitalize those key license terms on it. And so that's why we have to build something as complex as this, and obviously make it easy to adopt, easy to implement, and easy to manage.
Yeah, so Alistair, let's talk about what are the benefits to the organization of adopting a solution like this? You know, if you think about starting at the end user that just wants to get access to a piece of information to be able to, what they believe they need to be able to do their job, and then working up through the organization, talk about the benefits of doing something like this for an organization.
Yeah, so you've got right from the users that want to subscribe to these particular products and services and utilize this, you've got to make sure that they're aware of their obligations of this. So, you know, we touched on it before, what they're allowed to do with that, if they want to kind of do with that, what their compliance is with those particular topics. So it could be anything as basic as, you know, password sharing, no password sharing, making sure that they are aware of those, you know, conditions. And once you've captured all of that data, it's then making everybody in the industry, in the organization, should I say, aware of what is being captured. So Richard touched on all the metadata. You know, that is stored so that you can make it accessible to others. So you're not just making it accessible in a workflow so that people can see it or in a report, but you're making it obvious to application owners so that when they're doing compliance reviews, you know, application compliance reviews using our, you know, ACM tool or application compliance manager and MDM, you know, when they're sort of managing it through that cycle, they're aware of the feeds that are feeding into their application. They're aware of the contract terms and metadata and clauses on that particular contract. They're aware of, you know, what they're doing with the application, but are they then marrying that up to what the conditions are of these product feeds and services? And so what DataGov built with us for, you know, this particular customer in mind that we're talking about today is that we're making it very, very easy for everybody to be able to self-serve that. So show me a list of all of my contracts and product feeds across these applications that are not compliant. So it's a big matrix. All the conditions on the left, obligations on the top, and in terms of the you know, the applications that are being utilized, it's tick or cross against each one of those different, you know, obligations versus product feed on the application. So making it very easy for everybody to be able to understand which ones are compliant, which ones are a risk. If we get audited by one of these exchanges or vendors coming along, which ones do we need to make sure we attack very quickly to make sure we're not going to be at breach and a fine. So you're making it information available to end users, to market data managers, to application owners, and to, you know, senior managers above that.
It's a big topic, right? I mean, there's a lot of complexity in this data. I mean, and Alistair's kind of touched upon it, but, you know, I see commercially kind of there's probably three pillars when data arrives within an organization. Yeah, there's the cost of delivery, there's the comms, the infrastructure, the hardware. That's pretty easy to kind of cost allocate and kind of work out. But then the actual content, the data, you know, comes from potentially an aggregator or a vendor, but it doesn't end there because there's the underlying exchange that's provided the content to the aggregator or to the vendor. And those kind of nuances within the contracts mean that, you know, there is potential exposure in both of those kind of camps. So what, you know, an institution or an individual with an institution can actually do with the data, yeah, typically has to be known across those kind of two verticals. And interestingly, you might get one license from one content provider that allows the data to flow potentially into, say, the back office, whereas another license for the same content from a different vendor may only allow the data to flow into the front office. So it's kind of these nuances alongside things like, can the data go into an application versus a terminal? Can the data be redistributed in some kind of raw or derived format? You know, this is that business logic that I spoke about, you know, understanding that to kind of bring that metadata together to allow an easy permission or an easy rejection to a new potential requirement is kind of key. And the other point is that probably what I've found in the time that I've been in this industry, you know, one person will read a contract today and it'll be forgotten about maybe a year down the line. So you know, what ends up by happening is there's innovative people in this industry, right? There's a new requirement coming out of the factory kind of every couple of months. Can I use this data for something else? Well, typically they just went off and did it, right? And then retrospectively in the future, the underlying providers of this content would say, well, hang on, that's a new revenue stream for us. So they'll commercially kind of try to put a wrapper around it. So it's that exposure, maybe not here and here and now in the present, but maybe a year, 18 months down the line, where if we can capture this metadata, create kind of governance around it with your tools, we're going to remove that exposure from our mutual customers.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked a little bit about, and Alistair, you brought up demand challenge. You know, why is demand challenge important in the financial services space?
So, I mean, you have typically have a lot of movement in these institutions, in these customers that we have. So what I mean by movement is a lot of people coming and going, joiners, leavers, people moving locations, people moving desks, changing roles, etc. And that is tough to keep up with in its, you know, in its own right. You've got to have requests made for that, approval, cancellations need to obviously flow through to switch things off and, you know, cancel out the costs for those. But you've also got existing contracts where you've got payment already made, you've got contract dates still in action, so you need to then transfer from one to another, etc., swap licenses. So that is a huge amount of complexity. And you know, our request procurement manager, our RPM system, takes the strain out of a lot of that with automation. It allows for, you know, the logging of all of that information in the system, requests, goes through approval, workflow. That's been there for 20 odd years. What we're talking now is demand challenge. So demand challenge is where you have people interacting with that RPM order management system. You have them saying, I would like this, or I don't need this anymore, or I'm moving and I need to pick something else. So with that self-service activity, they're allowed to browse, unless you restrict them down, they're allowed to browse pretty much anything that they want in that front end. And so when they're browsing, they're identifying these different feeds, these different products and services, indices, etc. And they're able to pick those in a shopping cart experience, check out, and it goes to an approver. That approver is probably just focused on cost. They're not looking at particular contractual obligations. They're not aware that there's a min or max threshold. They're not aware that the end user is probably going to go and do something with the data that they're not expecting. So demand challenge is very important, where you're actually challenging that user with a set of informed information or informed decisions that you can make, where you can power that engine with data usage rights, terms, conditions, clauses, obligations, things that the user can do or can't do. And so by capturing that information that we've talked about already in this session, you can then represent that as another channel to that end user as demand challenge. So when they're not just picking the products and services and saying, check out, brilliant, I've got it, I'm off, I'll have it tomorrow. It's, well, hang on a minute, before you check out, we should remind you of the fact that you can't do this, you must comply with this, you can't password share, you know, you are reminded of your, conditions that you need to meet here. And we're not going to let you check out until you've accepted these conditions. So you're auditing that end user, you're capturing that information in the system so that any time you can go back and reference that. And that's important, because otherwise, if you're not demand challenging them about this, they're essentially free to move around and sort of pick what they want, as I was kind of referencing. And demand challenge can have many forms. It can have, you know, contractual data usage rights, but it can also have cost connotations as well, where you can actually guide them to similar products which are priced differently, and so, you know, or priced for different use cases. And so you've actually got the power with building more of this data into the system. You've got the power to direct them in different ways, to suit your organization.
And that was a key one for us, you know, in what we were doing. You know, we looked at some of these contracts and some of the kind of test case where people were putting in requests. They were asking potentially from one vendor, one exchange, and there was a certain price point. But, you know, if the institution had an enterprise license agreement and all you can eat kind of equivalent, you know, it might be more prudent to take that content, the same content, but from a different vendor. Now, that might be there might be a little bit of a pain potentially if it's going via an API. But from a cost point of view, yeah, it's more favorable for the institution. So that's the kind of logic that we also put in.
So, you know, as we're talking about data usage rights, it seems pretty straightforward, Richard. But how does this align to what other industries are doing, and why is it important?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think, to be honest, when I kind of think of the field of market data, we are, to a certain degree, behind other industries. You know, if we look at the consumer market, and we're all getting used to kind of a subscription model, you can kind of call it the Amazons, the Netflix, the Disneys. And whilst I appreciate that the content sets may be a little bit easier to understand, I think the point I'm trying to make is there's a simple kind of pay per household, pay per individual, pay per couple or family when it comes to Spotify or Apple Music. The other point to make is that, you know, there's, you can try one for a couple of months, and then if it doesn't work out, you flip. You know, you can go and get an alternative provider, right? I think our industry is a little bit different. Historically, there's been kind of the approach to kind of annualized subscription models, which typically roll and roll, and maybe the contractual terms of that data don't really change because the contracts are just rolling and rolling and rolling. But there is also this I suppose, part of our industry that is there's always seeking to kind of find new things to do with the data. And ultimately, there's very clever people that can basically use legacy historical data and reutilize that. And of course, when there's value there, the commercial terms from those incumbent providers of that content, they want to change their commercial terms to themselves make more money from that content, right? It kind of makes sense. The other point I was going to say is that there's a change in our industry around sort of cloud, and that kind of goes into the OPEX model versus the capital outlay model. You know, there's no longer the need now to throw, you know, seven-figure sums to infrastructure because you can rent it very quickly through, you know, the CSPs, the ones we all know, the Amazons, the Azures, the Googles. And that kind of lends itself back to that commercial model, sorry, that consumer model, that consumer commercial model, which is kind of, you know, on a month-by-month basis. So I think there is this kind of inflection point in our industry where that has to come, right? There has to be sort of more favorable commercial terms sort of over the kind of the usage of data on a short-term basis. I think that's going to have to happen. I think vendors and exchanges will need to look at that. And I think the industry needs to become kind of more frictionless, right? So it, instead of it taking months to onboard the content, these people want the content far quicker within these kind of cloud environments. So by doing what we're doing with the onboarding of all this metadata, I think it's going to help. I think it's, you know, it's a, I'm not going to say it's a sort of a toe in the ocean. I think we've gone more than that. We jumped in, but I think there's a far more longer journey that we need to take to kind of get it back to where we see in those more kind of consumer centric markets. But ultimately, I think that's what we need to do to make it easier for people to understand what they can do today and can do tomorrow with the content. And that's the importance of kind of the work that we've been doing, obviously, with your tools. I mean, someone said to me, like, you know, if you go and buy a car, right, you can drive that car on any road in this country. You don't have to phone up the manufacturer of that car to say, you know, can I take your car abroad to, I don't know, France or a European country, right? But that's basically what we're having to do with data. It's constant that the institution has to make sure that their new requirement for the data they're already getting, are they actually able to use it in that capacity? And typically when you have that conversation, clearly they'll say, well, you know, there is a commercial consideration that we need to have, and, you know, it becomes a longer conversation. So I think that's kind of the important point to make. You know, it needs to change.
Yeah, I mean, Richard, what you're saying seems pretty straightforward. It seems relatively easy. Why are customers struggling with, hey, I'm getting XYZ data feed and I want to do Y data feed with it. I mean, that, you know, why I want to do, you know, Y with it now. Why is there a struggle?
I think, I think that's a good point. But if you kind of consider that there's probably 250 exchanges globally, there's dozens of aggregators and vendors, all with their own unique policies. You then kind of got a new breed of niche content providers coming in, both in structured data and unstructured data. They're creating their own kind of commercial models around the usage rights of their data. You then got, you know, the cloud service providers, and you've got the whole kind of birth of marketplaces and the way that data can flow across one over a marketplace. So, you know, new terms around historical data, delayed data, qualities of service, you know, is the data full tick? Do you require the full depth of book, full level two content? You've got kind of conflated feeds, you know, it becomes a minefield, right? It really does. And I think there's a simple question, you know, from a user, an institution, you know, can you have the data, yes or no? It becomes this kind of problem to just navigate kind of what I just touched upon. So that's probably the reason why that there is more complexity. It's more complex in our on a market versus the example perhaps that we give of, you know, the consumer markets. But I think the other point to make is that the terms over maybe one specific thing, maybe derived data, will also be different between vendors. So there's a lot of things to navigate. And I'm just thinking maybe embargoes, you know, what do we class as kind of free and delayed data on one exchange, maybe after 20 minutes, whereas another exchange might be 15 minutes. So there's lots and lots of nuances in these data sets. And pretty much, you know, anyone can spin up a new data set and apply their own commercial model over it. And if it becomes kind of needed, you know, that then becomes a problem for our industry. So that's kind of the reason. I think the nirvana state of it just being simple click and go, you know, is some way off. But I think, like I say, we're working towards it.
Yeah, you need to have the North Star, and the North Star is making it, you know, it's out there. It's a consumer-based model that says, hey, here's your understanding of how you can and can't use it. I know I can't take a program from Netflix and post it on my own. It's not mine. I can't. I'm not licensed to do that. I'm licensed to watch it. Alistair, can you give us your view of data usage rights and in the market data space, you know, kind of give us that high level perspective on the definition of it.
So definition of data usage rights for market data would be key licensing terms per contract for the products being delivered, and obviously making yourself aware of what those complexities are and connotations. So you're capturing those key items, those key licensing terms, as Richard was talking about, and then using those for the various different options or decisions or reporting models that the business needs. You know, essentially you're capturing those key metadata.
Yeah, and I think what we're talking about here, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, is we're going to capture those key terms and key information, and then we're going to give it back to the industry, to our customers, in a way that is consumable, that tells them what they can and cannot do with this data set, as well as give them the option to say, there may be an alternative solution out there that allow you to do that. You may need to switch from X to Y, and that will allow you to do what you're asking to do. Am I correct in that assumption?
Absolutely, yeah, definitely.
So what is innovative about the approach that we're taking?
Yeah, I think it's really just solving an industry challenge, right? I think we wanted to go, the customer came to us and said, we kind of want to improve our workflow. And we just took a step back and thought, you know, we're not going to try and reinvent the wheel. You know, we want to use what's out there now and apply some basic logic. And it was a lot of heavy lifting. You know, we, as I touched upon earlier on, we had to kind of go back and look at countless contracts to work out what customers can do on this particular institution, you know, with that particular kind of data set. We then had to look at the applications. We had to look at or certainly collect data about the users of those applications and of that data. So that's the, from an innovative point of view, it means that we've done it once, right? We've got the logic. And I hope it becomes easier on the second time round. And I think there are questions being asked from other customers. You know, can we help them? And again, utilizing your widgets, your kind of toolkit, I think is the approach that we would take. So it's innovative from a point of view that we've kind of got it to work, but we haven't collectively kind of reinvented it yet. We've just taken what we know is out there and what works and applied a lot of manpower to solve. Hopefully that kind of is the answer.
I think innovative from our side is that we've had customers using our modules to collect this kind of contract data already. But it's what we're doing with that data further this time that I think is different in this aspect. So Richard touched on the cloud model earlier, right? So you've now got data coming through a number of different mechanisms, and you then need to make sure that that cost allocation model, that user entitlement detail, is captured in the Market Data Manager system as well, you know, the MDM database platform. So, you know, where you've got data not just coming direct or through an aggregator, but also coming through a Snowflake or a Databricks or something like that marketplace. And so you need to make sure that that data is licensed in the way that it's allowed to be used by the group, and all the people that are being accessing that are allowed to actually access that data. And so that is what our systems are doing here. It's capturing the full picture around all of the data feeds that are coming in, how much they're costing, but also where they're coming from, and all of the data usage rights across each of those different services, because you can receive the same product service through a number of different mechanisms. And so it's making sure that each of those product data feeds is treated in different ways with regards to data usage rights, but then mapping it back to the application that it's part of. And so that is where we are going further than what has been seen in the industry so far, where you can highlight a particular application that is non-compliant with the data usage rights, the key conditions on particular feeds. And that hasn't been done before. You're relying previously up to now on application owners to be able to identify and go, well, hang on a minute, didn't we have that contract that said we can't do this? Or you're having to phone someone up and say, did we agree with that contract that we could do that or not? I can't remember. And is that coming into our application? You're producing a key picture here, and that's what's innovative. You're using the data to actually make a decision for it.
Yeah, you're moving to giving them insights instead of moving to give them the opportunity to go research something to figure out whether or not we're putting it straight in front of them and giving them an insight instead of just a report saying, here's how, here's a bunch of information. Now figure out how you're using it.
Yeah. And I think it's speed as well. I think that metadata we touched upon ultimately means that they it can get turned around a lot quicker than ever before.
You can get people access to data faster in a compliant fashion, not just access to data in a way that they're allowed to use it. So you prevent future potential issues or commercial changes or all the fun things that come in this market. So, as we begin to talk about what's coming next, Richard, what do you see next within the industry and how is, Datagon looking at solving some of those problems?
So I think there's a topic that we've all been talking about for 3 or 4 years, digital transformation. I think that's going to continue. I think some of those pillars include cloud. I think that's definitely here within financial services. But what I've noticed over the last 12, 18 months has been the adoption, the pace of adoption around the next generation of kind of cloud platforms, the Snowflakes, the Databricks, and the way that they're being utilized. I mean, there's a clear drive from those organizations to secure logos in our market. And I think what that's leading to is a definite industry challenge around entitlements over these platforms. And that needs to be solved. They want the incumbents, the exchanges, the vendors that we all know and love, to present their data sets onto these new platforms. But equally, the incumbents want the assurance that the data is flowing only to where it contractually should be. And that could be into one customer environment versus many or all. So certainly from a Datagon point of view, we're helping customers there. I think that's a kind of a key part of our journey over the next 12 months, 18 months. We've certainly got, a lot of talent on the ground, the consultants. I think that's going to continue as well. And clearly, there's a need for permissioning tools across multiple vendors. There are individual permissioning tools available from all of the vendors when they sell their solutions. But when it gets aggregated, as we've been talking about, obviously today, I think that is another barrier, another industry challenge. So those kind of two parts of the puzzle within those new cloud environments, within those new kind of Databricks and fabrics like Snowflake, I think is where we see the opportunity. We see the challenges, but we see the opportunity because of the challenges. And then I see, yourselves along that journey as well, as customers take their on-prem solutions and put them in the cloud. I think that's kind of where you guys will be going as well from our conversation. So it's interesting. It's complex. Nothing stays the same. And I think there'll be new vendors. There'll be new kind of data sets that we've all got to kind of know how to onboard. But I think that's kind of that goes without saying that your tools will help. And, hopefully our expertise can help as well.
Yeah. I mean, I would echo that in saying we've already been asked by a couple of customers to explore connectivity to those same systems that Richard's talking about, those Snowflakes, those Databricks, because if there's data flowing through those and users are subscribed to those, then it is tracking the same way. So it needs controlling. And so, like the same way that you would make requests for joiners, leavers, movers, you're not just requesting access to a normal, straightforward delivered data feed, but also you're getting it through alternative channels like those, you know, cloud marketplaces. And so they need control and they need entitlement management. And so that is where we would, you know, I think in other sessions we've talked about things like API connectivity for like e-bonding, where we're enable to turn things on or off for, you know, new items, new services for joiners, leavers. But we're also looking to do the same for Snowflake and Databricks. And we've explored the connectivity there. We're just waiting for the user prioritization, I think, to drive our connectivity there next. And I think the final thing to mention on this, you know, innovative future, let's say, we've talked about the contracts. We've talked about the difficulty in going through those contracts and grabbing that, you know, those key clauses and conditions. We have OCR tech already. We have OCR tech that we use around our product set. So, you know, we should be using that more to template more of those contracts, because there's a likelihood that many of those are of the same format and the same sort of wording. And so if we can create templates that would automatically onboard all of the data and grab the key bits that we need, like we do with our AIP tool, our auto-invoice processing product, we grab all of the key bits off those invoices, we should be grabbing all the key bits of the contracts as well. So we've already started early conversations with customers about how we might be able to, you know, upskill that tool and build more intelligence into those, you know, kind of key product sets.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Alistair, Richard, thank you guys so much for joining. Very interesting and in-depth topic here today around understanding data usage rights. And to those listening and watching, thank you guys for joining on this edition of Dare to Innovate.
Stay on top of the conversation. Like and subscribe to our channel to get notified when our newest episodes release. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Dare to Innovate.